You have come a part of a special Sunday. This is a special Sunday. This is one of two Sundays that happen a year in our year, our church calendar year. They're National Youth Pastor Preaching Sundays. The first one is New Year's Eve weekend, and the second one is Memorial Day weekend, because most all the other pastors are out of town, and so they let the youth pastor speak. So I'm so pumped about being here this morning with you guys, and I'm thankful for that, but they've given me the hardest topic to talk about this morning. They really have. If we look at everything that we're going to talk about, this is one of the hardest things. David McCammon was here last week and did a phenomenal job setting up this new series, Habits for Holiness. And I'm so excited about where we're going through and where we're going to as a church family, as we talk about fasting, as we talk about reading God's word, as we talk about giving. He set up godliness last week, how everything's rooted around godliness. And when we get to today, they've given me the privilege of speaking about worship. And the reason I say that's the hardest one is because everybody has an opinion on worship. From front to back, from side to side, everybody's got their thoughts on what worship should or shouldn't be. And so over the next 2 hours, I'm going to try to explain to you what God says in his word. Some of you got that. I'm not going to preach for 2 hours. But I'm gonna try to show you through God's word on what he says worship is and what it isn't. And so I'm really excited about being with you today in this house. If you're watching online, we're glad that you're here. LifePoint Espanol, we're glad that you're joining us this morning. And so we're excited about what God is going to do as we talk about worship. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3, we're going to get there in a few minutes. I want to tell you a little bit about me. Some of you know that I'm from Georgia. I'm a Georgia boy. Any other Georgia folks in the room? Two of you. Good. That's awesome. So I grew up right outside of Atlanta. I grew up in a town in between Atlanta and Athens. Go Dogs. It was called Loganville. So you caught that too. You're going to walk out of here going, I'll leave them with a lot of joke grenades. Oh, that made sense. Anyway, so the next town past me was called Between. We were really original in Georgia because it was between Atlanta and Athens. So that's where I grew up, in a little town called Loganville. We had the church that I went to was called Center Hill Baptist Church, small little Baptist church. You could probably fit about 8 of their sanctuaries in this auditorium, small church. And when it came to worship on Sunday mornings, we had a music director who would stand up there, and it would never fail. We break out the hymn books, and we were pretty progressive. We had moved from the red hymnals to the blue hymnals, and we broke out the hymn book, you know, and we would sing the first stanza, and we would sing the second stanza, and he would drop down to the third stanza, all while directing aircrafts and doing karate, you know, like we knew what in the world all this meant, you know. He's directing us, and okay, now, like, we had it figured out, you know, and that was what our worship was on Sunday mornings. He would stand up, and we would sit there and try to follow along. And then we got a new youth pastor, and that guy came in. He was younger. He was hip, you know, right out of college, and he came in, and he introduced to us praise choruses. Whoa. Because you got to understand, at our church, we were a little bit of what, how do you say, reverent, I think that's the word for it, because nobody clapped their hands at church. If they clapped their hands, it was because Sally sang a special, and she got done. Oh, bless her, Lord. She did so good. You know what I'm talking about. And if anybody lifted their hand, they were just yawning in the middle of the service. And that's about all we were in our church. But he brought these praise choruses, and I'll never forget, he brought songs like Ain't No Rock. Yeah, it was cool back in the 90s. And then Sanctuary, we sang a song, a familiar song, Sanctuary, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Beautiful songs. It was all new to us. So cool. And we were doing this Disciple Now one time, like a youth camp over the weekend kind of deal, 3-day deal. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, Praise Band was leading through the songs, and we were sitting there, and we had some friends from out of town join us during the youth camp, youth retreat. And I had this guy next to me, Brock Cruz. He was such a cool dude, big football player guy. And he was sitting right next to me, and we're sitting there, the sermon had just ended. We were doing a response song, and probably Sanctuary in the middle, at the end of it, probably. And if you've never heard the song, it's on Wow Worship 1998, so you can find it. But he was sitting there, and I'll never forget what he did. I'll never forget. I'm just sitting there, and he's sitting here, I'm sitting next to him, and all of a sudden he's in the middle of the song, and he just lifted his hand up, like he had his eyes closed, lifted his hand. And me being the compassionate 14-year-old, thought he had a question, and hey, Brock, bathrooms are over there, bro. Yeah, if you got a question, I got you right here, man. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm worried, you know. And he's like this. And then he did the unthinkable, y'all. He did the unthinkable. He stood up. He stood up in the middle. I was like, what is going on? Brock's deep in sin. Like, it's confession time and doing what every 14-year-old does. I stood up, put my arm around him. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Let be with whatever's going on. But that's not what was going on. He was worshiping with his whole heart. He was giving it all, his all to Jesus. And I'll never forget being in that moment where I saw someone just give it all to Jesus. It didn't matter who was around. It didn't matter who was sitting next to him, whether they knew him forever or not. He was just worshiping his king with everything he had. And from that day on, I mean, that was probably 1996, 97. My heart for worship has just exploded. It has changed my heart because I saw this freedom that Brock had in that worship service with a bunch of teenagers. Maybe you were like me and you grew up in a smaller church, or you even maybe grew up in First Baptist Smyrna, and you remember when all it was pianos, or the church that you grew up in just had a organ, and that was the extent of worship. And then you maybe came into a worship service like this, or you went to a worship concert, and you just saw freedom happen. You remember that moment where you just were like, man, I'm just going to be free in my worship. These people, there's something different about it. And it just, in that moment, I think about what God's word says, and I think about all the scriptures that point back to worship. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to talk about. If you know me, I'm a typical Baptist preacher. I got 3 points in a poem, and I usually, when I preach in like this, I kind of roll through it. But this morning, I've got a few more points, so I'm praying that you're taking notes. You got a pen and a pad or something to write down on, lipstick, mascara. Just do something. Take some notes. I've got a lot of scripture this morning. And it's going to start out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and then we're going to open up a lot of scripture. So I'll give you the addresses to these scriptures, but here's the deal. I tell our students all the time, you can argue with me till you're blue in the face. Being a youth pastor, I have a lot of teenagers that try that. They argue with me a lot. But here's the deal. I try to back everything that I say, advice that I give, sermons, obviously, that I preach, I teach, Bible studies, that always bring it back to scripture. Because you can argue with me, but you can't argue with God's word. And so that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to look at God's word, see how it affects us. And my hope and prayer is that as we unpack these scriptures, when you leave this place to this week, you'll have a different idea of what worship should look like or what worship shouldn't look like. Because I would venture to say in a room this size, there's a few of us in here, including myself, that maybe miss what worship is and what worship isn't. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at that. And like I said, we're going to all start in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And see what God's word says to us this morning as we look at it, as we open it up. And we're starting right here as Paul is teaching and writing this letter to the church of Colossae. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, right off the bat, Paul is talking to the church of Colossae that everything starts and ends with the word. And if you read the book of Colossians, we did a study through our student ministry a couple of months ago. Paul is talking about the whole time, set your mind on things above. Set your minds on Jesus who's above all, and God that's done everything for you through him. And he's saying, set your minds on things above. And so he says, in order to do this, you put at the beginning of your day and at the end of the day and all throughout your day, the word of Christ, the word of God must dwell inside of us and through us in our daily lives. It's very interesting that he puts right here, he says, let us teaching and admonishing one another through songs and or through all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is done together. This is done with each other in mind. And so that's one way, we'll talk about that in a second, that we think about worship is, but worship doesn't just stay in here, it goes out of the walls. Again, we'll talk about this because I think too many times we limit our worship to maybe this room. Because we have some awesome worshipers. Let me just say that. We have some awesome worshipers here. And we've got some worshipers that range between maybe even rookie level worshipers and to expert worshipers. When I say worship hand motions. In fact, I've got a chart that shows this. Let's take a look at that chart real quick about different levels of worship. So we have many rookie level worshipers in the room. Some, you know, you carry in the TV, and then some of you go big screen, you know what I'm saying? You're out there. And then some of my favorites, I love this, you know, my fish was this big, and you're worshiping, you're just, yes, yes, God. And then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, you know what I'm saying? So we may have some rookie and intermediate, but I've been around LifePoint for a few months, and I have to say, we've got some pro and expert level worshipers around here. I mean, pro and expert. I mean, we've got the goalpost of heartburn. I do that one a lot. You know, yes, Lord, speak to me. I do that one a lot. And then we have expert. Now, you see the warning on the bottom, Baptist, do not attempt. This is going next level. Because, I mean, we're going rocky on this thing. A touchdown. But so I say this in jest, but at the end of the day, we limit it to being in here. And I would just say that worship isn't just meant for these moments. And for these things that we're talking about tonight or today, I want to just pose to you that maybe some things that worship is not. Maybe a few ideas of what worship is not. So as we look at these, I do have several points, so I invite you to write these down. I'll give you the addresses to the verses, because everything that we're going to say today is going to be backed up in God's Word. In fact, we have a ton of verses today, because I don't want you to leave this place going, well, worship is just between me and God. And what I would say is, you're right. It is between you and God, but I want to make sure we have the correct view of worship. Again, it's the reason I say this is one of the hardest sermons to preach is because everybody's got a different idea of what worship is. It stays in this room, it goes out of this room, it's personal, it's public. We have all these different ideas, but I want to show you what God's Word says, and then we'll see what we can do when we take it out of this place. Does that sound good? Good. All right. So, point number one, if you're taking notes, worship is not meant to just be in the sanctuary. Point number one, worship is not meant to just be in the sanctuary. Romans 12 says this, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Another version says your spiritual act of worship. It says, do not be conformed to this world or the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. This is your spiritual act of worship. 1 Thessalonians says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Worship is not meant to just stay in the four walls of this building right here. Worship is meant to be carried out in our daily lives, whether we're having our personal quiet time, our private time with Jesus, where we're reading God's Word and we're singing to Him, or whether we're with our families and our family worship, where we're gathered around our dinner tables and in our living rooms and we're singing and reading God's Word, or we join here publicly and with community of believers where we worship our King. It's not just meant to stay in this room. And I want to think about it. We worship the things that we spend the most time doing or being with. Think about it. We worship the things that we spend the most time with, or doing. So I want you to think back on this week. How much time did you spend in worship? Was it just the hour that you spent last week, and maybe if you went to Wednesday night church with our students, the 30, 45 minutes? There's 168 hours in a week. An hour and a half, that's a lot of time that we miss. What do we do? So I want to pose that it's worship is not just to be in this room. So yes, we should sing with all we have, and we'll get to that in a second, but it shouldn't just stay here. This should be something that happens every day. Our worship should happen every day, every day. So let's move on for the sake of time and the sake of the 15 points. I don't have 15, but I've got a few. Number two, worship is not meant to always be silent. Worship is not meant to always be silent. Psalm 150, I love this psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to say it like that because it's got an exclamation point at the end. Praise the Lord. Here's the deal. I want to do a little exercise. We're not going to do jumping jacks or burpees or anything this morning. But I want you to do with me, whether you're watching online or whether you're in this room, we can all do this together. On the count of three, I want us all to take a deep breath, okay? Well, some of y'all are rushing me. All right, slow down. Count of three. One, two, three. Take a deep breath. And then exhale. Check this out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. I wasn't expecting that, but praise the Lord. Here's the deal. If God's giving you the breath, check this out. God is giving you the breath that's in your lungs right now as a gift. He's given the breath that's in your lungs right now as a gift. Shouldn't the least we can do is worship him. The least we can do is give him praise. Because in any moment, he could take it right out. But as long as he's given it to us, let's worship our King. Every moment of every day. Every moment of every day. Let's move on. Worship is not limited to singing. What I don't want you to do is leave here and just say, well, Ryan's harking on me. If I don't lift my hands, I'm not worshiping. If I don't close my eyes, I'm not in true worship. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm going to give you a lot of things this morning to think about what worship is. And one of them is it's not limited to singing. It's not just meant just to be singing. Think about Psalm 46, 10 says this, be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you were just still in his presence? Where you just sat and just soaked in his goodness and his grace. And you were just still. When was the last time you sat in a moment and you never asked God for one thing? You just worshiped him for who he is and what he's done for you. Just being still. It goes on from there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul says this, pray without ceasing or pray continually. I used to tell our students a lot, and I still do, that. And maybe you've been in the same moment, you've met in the same circumstance. You've come into church and you've never heard the song that's sung. And it's up on the screen and you're like, oh, that's a new song, that's a good tune. But you don't know the melody of the song. You don't know the words that are being sang. Let me challenge you to do this. Next time you're faced in that moment, it could be in just a few minutes when we sing in just a few minutes. But if you're in that moment, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Pray the lyrics that you see on the screen. Pray those lyrics out, because more likely than not, that they're all coming from Scripture. So pray those lyrics out and ask God to reveal himself through you, through his word, and through these words that he's given an author to write these songs. Try it. I promise you, it'll change your worship. There's other examples of worship in Scripture. You think about Matthew 6, where Jesus is talking about fasting. That's worship when we're wanting more of him above anything else. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to have our ushers come down and we're going to take up an offering. That's an act of worship. When we give, we shouldn't give begrudgingly. oh man, I gotta give this to God. No, we get to give this to God. We get to give to our Jesus, our King. So we should do this with excitement. We should do this with joy. We should do this with a shout. We should celebrate, because worship is not limited to singing. And I want to add to this next point, worship is not meant to always be still. It's not meant to always be still. Psalm 63:3-4 says this, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Psalm 134:2 says, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Psalm 47 says, clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Loud songs of joy. We have freedom in that. Scripture tells us to do these things. And when you say, well, Ryan, I'm not one to lift my hands. Well, I just want to encourage you. It's okay to do that. It's okay to lift your hands. I was watching a TED Talk this week, and I like TED Talks because they only last about 15 to 18 minutes, and my attention span is perfect. So I'm watching this, and this communicator, she's talking, the social scientist is talking about nonverbal communication, and she's talking about how people can be read and how you read people in different moments, and it was so cool. She said this, it blew me away. She said, whether you are born with sight, you have the ability to see when you come out of the womb, or you're born blind, that you cannot see at that moment of birth, when you celebrate, we all celebrate the same way. We lift our hands. We lift our hands in victory. It was so cool to think about. Because too many times we say, well, this person is just copying this person in worship. No, we worship in victory and celebrate. That's why Scripture says, lift your hands, because of what Jesus has done for us. And so I thought that was so cool that even a blind person who's never seen anybody lift their hands in victory does the same thing. And so when we, the people who have sight through Christ, think about that, lifting our hands because we were once blind. But ladies and gentlemen, we can see because of Jesus. Man, that's good stuff. And amen is inserted there. Now, next point, worship is not meant to be done in sin. Worship is not meant to be done in sin. Psalm 24 says this, who shall ascend? Remember, there's this action. It's a verb. There's something happens. There's a stirring within us. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand, again, another action word, in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Think about this. How can there be purity if there are things that are hidden? And your argument to that might be Psalm 139. Well, God knows all our hearts. He searches. He knows us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows everything about us. Why should I confess my sins? Well, that confession of sins is to make sure, is God saying, hey, there's some things that are getting in between us, and you need to repent, and you need to turn another direction so you can worship me wholeheartedly. Think about this. I try my hardest to listen to a lot of worship music. I really do. I like worship music. It's just something I really enjoy. I love listening to worship music. And I want to challenge you this week to dial in a radio station, a Jesus station, or get yourself, download some of Travis's worship stuff. You're welcome. But man, get some Jesus music. Listen to Jesus music for when the enemy attacks you. It's not if, it's a when. So whether you're sitting from my left to my right, front to back, the enemy's going to attack you sometime this week. And I would say, try this. At the beginning of that temptation, or the temptation comes, or you're about to walk into this sin, start singing some Jesus music. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, in the middle of your sin, your mindset's going to change. I challenge you, try it. Try it this week. Try this week. Because our worship, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his presence? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. He wants us to worship him. He's created us to worship him. And so we have to have clean hands. But why do we do this? Because worship is not meant to be self-focused. It's not meant to be about us. It's Jesus is in the center. He's in the center of our worship. We have an audience of one. When you're singing, you're not singing to this band. And when this band is playing, they are not singing to you. We are worshiping together our Jesus, our King, our Savior. And we get to worship him. You get that? We get to worship him. He allows us. He allows us to worship him. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, it's all about Jesus. And we worship him because it's not about us. It's all about him. I would venture to say in our worship that our worship is not meant to be suppressed. Our worship is not meant to be suppressed. There is freedom in our surrender. There is freedom in our worship. 2 Corinthians says this in chapter 3, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. A lot of times we pray before church, and I've been guilty of this. God, come into this place. Let your Spirit come into this place. Come in, fill this place. Well, here's the deal. The Spirit's already here. So what we need to do is say, okay, Lord, let me be in tune to your Spirit and allow your Spirit to speak to me so I can worship you with everything that I have. Whether I'm in this room or I'm in my car or I'm in my living room, I'm going to worship you because you deserve it all. Can you tell I'm a little passionate about this? Because we get to worship Jesus because it's all about him. And the Spirit that comes inside of us at salvation walks with us and talks with us and guides us and counsels us to give him all praise and glory. Whether we're in this room or out these doors. Because my last point would be this. Worship is not meant to ever stop. Worship is not meant to ever stop. Hebrews 13 says this. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Now, there's something interesting about this Greek word here, continually. It's very interesting when I kind of nerd out on these things. Like, what do words really mean in Scripture? Well, check this out. The word continually means continually. It means to continue. Don't ever stop. If kids in the 90s, you remember this. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It keeps going and going and going and going. That's how our worship should be. It should keep going and going and going and going. Because we have a song of redemption. We have a song. Even John, the Revelator, in Revelation, you see this picture unfold as he looks to heaven. And God shows him this vision of heaven. And he's revealed to this picture, this what's going on, and he sees these angels encircling the throne, and they're shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're shouting, they're saying, you can look it up. They're saying these things. And then he looks again, and he sees more people, and they're singing a new song. And they're singing to God. One of the coolest things in Scripture to me, Jesus does this in Matthew, and we see this in Revelation, us in Scripture. That is literally us giving praise of glory, of songs of redemption. Because here's the deal. Jesus didn't die for the angels. He died for us. As children of him, he's called us out to him. And so we get to sing to him. We get to praise him because he's worthy. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And we sing And we live this out outside these doors because it is all 100% about Jesus. It's all about him. And so as we think about this, where are we in our worship? Where are we when it comes to worshiping our King? When we think about this personally, when you're having your one-on-one quiet time with Jesus, when you're reading his word and you're singing to him, are you worshiping him in that moment? Or are you holding things back or just going through the motions in your praise? We can break it down to private worship, which I think needs to be done. It needs to be done this week. If you haven't had your private time with Jesus today, do it when you get home. Because I would even say, because your private time with Jesus affects the family worship time. Man, we provide you worship guides for your family and my house worship. We want us as a family, as your families meet in your homes around the dinner table or the living room, you're reading God's word and you're praying to him and you're singing songs and you say, man, Ryan, I just don't sing. I make a joyful noise. Awesome. Make that joyful noise with everything you got for the King. Because what's going to happen is when you come into this place and you join this community of believers, when we sing together because we are encouraged, because we can look around and say, God saved that person. He saved that person. Man, he saved that person. And we get to worship our King together. And this is just a little glimpse of what heaven's going to look like. That's amazing. And so in this moment, I want to just take some time to worship, but be still. Be still in this moment. I've asked the praise band to come, and or I'm asking the praise band to come, and at the end of today, I'm going to lead us through a response time, and we're going to have a little bit longer worship at the back end of this service. So my prayer is that you won't leave. Your kids are well taken care of, I promise, and I got you out early. So stay in here. Give God your praise. Give him your glory. Or his glory that is due to him because of what he's done for you. Don't miss these moments that we come into this place and we just check it off. Oh, it's Sunday. I went to church and came in and shook some hands and I sat down in my normal seat, parked in my normal spot, sing some songs and hear a message, and then I leave. Man, my prayer is that we will worship every day. We'll worship every single day. But let's take a moment. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. In church world, that's just so we can just get focused a little bit, that we would just get focused in on what God has to say to us. And so I want to encourage you to do something. Just in the stillness and this, be still and know that I am God. I want you to ask God a question. I want you to ask him a question. And if you ask this question from a pure heart of really wanting to know the answer, God's going to be so faithful and he's going to give it to you. Why? Because he loves you and he cares about you. And he has a plan for your life that's incredible. Whether you know him or not, I want you to ask God this simple question. God, what's standing in the way of me and you right now? What's standing in the way of me and you right now? And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you ask him from a heartbeat of love and a heartbeat of really wanting to know, he's going to tell you because he wants that communion with you to be so sweet. And when he tells you, because he's a gentleman and he's going to tell you, my prayer is that you'll have the courage to say, okay, God, help me with this. I give this to you. I need your help. I can't do this alone. I give this back to you because I want to totally surrender. I don't want to hold this stuff in my hands as baggage. I don't want these chains to be around my wrists any longer. I want to be free. And so maybe you're in this moment, I say, what's standing in the way of you and God, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's what it is, that you need to be saved. You need salvation so that you can worship him wholeheartedly and free. And so you just ask God to come into your life. Romans is really clear. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you've never experienced that, we would love to talk to you after our service. We would love to chat with you about what it means to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God, in this moment, there's people talking to you, Lord, and I don't want to disrupt that, God. I pray that they are just listening to you, God. And in a few moments, when we're going to have our ushers come down and we're going to worship through giving, we're going to celebrate that way. And then we're going to worship through singing. God, I pray that today that no one would leave. God, I truly pray that unless there's an emergency, God, that we would stay in this moment and we would worship you wholeheartedly because you are so worthy, God. Jesus, you are so worthy of our songs. And so, Lord God, I pray that as we end our worship time in just a few moments, God, that we leave this place, we leave this campus, and we worship you in our homes, and we worship you in our jobs, and we worship you in our communities, because, Jesus, you are worthy. And so, God, as we give to you. As we sing to you. And as we live, Jesus, we live for you. God, we love you. We thank you.